All right. Good morning, everybody. It's Monday. And it looks like Spaces are having a little bit of issues this morning. Dropped and reconnected a few times, but wanted to welcome you to Bitcoin Veteran Spaces number 230. My name is Bob Van Kirk. I will be your host this morning. We're going to let some people file in. And while we do, let's look at the stats. It's Monday, July 28th, 2025. And we are sitting at Bitcoin block height number 907, 580, which means, let's see, I've taken about a 1500 block break, which was nice last week. And Bitcoin is sitting at around $118,450, which means you can still pick up 844 sats for each US dollar. And guys, if you haven't consolidated those unspent transaction outputs, now's the time. You can still send a transaction at some points in time for one sat per V-byte. Right now it looks to be at four, but still that is extremely low. And so this is a good time to be organizing and consolidating. While we let people file in, guys, give me a thumbs up if you can hear me or emote in some way. Seems like people are getting booted from the space. We might have to reboot this one. Yeah, I'm not getting much from anyone. Sorry about the technical difficulties. Looks like no response and people getting booted. So I think what we're going to do is kill the space and reboot it unless I get a few thumbs up. But yeah, I think people are getting kicked out here. Difficulties. Sometimes it's Monday. Not sure how much you guys heard of that opening, but that's okay. Thanks for being persistent and checking back in. We're going to throw out some invites. Hopefully people don't get booted from the room and can hear us. And we'll just roll with it. I'm going to throw out some invites. And we'll see who we can get up here to talk about some of the topics. Hate when that happens. Seems like maybe once every 45 days we get a space that is just bound to fail. So thanks for joining back in here. And yeah, we'll try to get some people up here on stage to join me. While we do, I did want to give a special thanks to everyone who stepped up last week. In my absence, we had Mining Goblin taking the lion's share along with AC, Texas Toast, and I think Gabe Lord led the charge on Thursday, although I couldn't listen to that one. Want to thank again all the regulars who join us up here on stage and to all of those who listen each weekday, 10 a.m. Eastern, to bring you all kinds of topics, strategies, sometimes arguments, and other Bitcoin fun stuff. I was able to enjoy some time with clients in the Pacific Northwest last week, do a little hiking with family, and get some much-needed R&R. Do appreciate all the guys that were able to step up and run the show last week. And yeah, good stuff. If you want to be a part of this show, please hit that little comment box in the bottom right. I'm assuming that's working on the reboot. I haven't tried it. Oh yes, it is. And otherwise, please hit that microphone button. Would be great to have some folks up here on stage to join me, so you're not just listening to me drone on or an hour about all this Bitcoin stuff going on. But while we try to get some people up here, there are a few things that came up over the weekend. One that is notable is a solo miner was able to hit block number 907-283. And it looks like the payout was pretty nice on that, since one Bitcoin is around $118,500. And the current block reward is 3.125 Bitcoin plus the transaction fees that you and I are offering to get our transactions included into the next block. All right. Let's see. Well, doesn't look like I have anybody joining me, so I'm going to take over the show. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, looks like, I expended all of our speakers last week while I was out. So, all good. I'll try to keep this going as long as possible. But yeah, guys, new voices would be, awesome to hear in the space. If you guys would like to come up, I realize we're on a reboot of the space. Thanks to the technical difficulties this morning. We'll thank Elon Musk for the amazing X Spaces. So one of the questions I had for the panel, which right now is just me, so maybe this question will entice some of you to come up here and speak, but one of my questions is, let's see, what do you guys think about all these treasury companies? Now, I'm actually not as interested right now in the Bitcoin treasury companies. I think we all understand what they're trying to accomplish, but I am interested in people's thoughts on this, what seems to be people starting to create treasury companies or turn existing operating companies into treasury companies on top of other cryptocurrencies. Do you guys think that this poses a threat? Do you think that this could be good for these companies, bad for these companies? Do you think that they'll hold forever, just like the Bitcoin treasury companies have promised to do? I wanted to welcome AC to the stage. AC, any thoughts on shitcoin treasury companies? AC, I cannot hear you, my friend. maybe you can get that microphone sorted out. Not sure if anybody else can hear AC, but would love to hear his thoughts on shitcoin treasury companies. We'll throw out a couple more invites to some of the regulars here and see if people have thoughts on this one. If you guys do want to chime in on this topic, please do. Hit that microphone button. Would be happy to have you up. And AC is coming back up. So let's see if we can get him up here. And I think we have Wade as well. Wade, did you want to give a mic check while we get AC up here?
What's up, Bob? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Sweet. No, actually, I think that... you know, people may be worried about what some of these other companies are doing, the shitcoin treasury strategy and whatnot. I see there was some chatter and whatnot about some companies out there adopting, you know, Ethereum, you know, as a treasury reserve asset. I actually think it's kind of fantastic because I think it's an opportunity for the market to wash out some of this bullshit.
Yeah, that's a really good take. I do think people will live and learn. And yeah, it's good to see, different opinions, and we will see, I think, the fallout from it. AC, you want to give a mic check? And also Hunter, good morning.
Yeah, morning, Bob. Morning, guys. I think we've had some problems on X Spaces today. How do you guys have me?
You are sounding great. Go ahead, sir.
Awesome. So, yeah, I think we were talking about, you know, these shitcoin treasury companies. I think it's really just highlighting some of the degen nature that a broken monetary system has really instilled, not only in, you know, random plebs like us, retail plebs like us, but also true for, you know, corporate institutions looking at how can they make a quick play to either gain exposure into the space or, you know, how can they raise a large amount of money. I get a lot of these, you know, ICO era vibes with a lot of these shitcoin companies coming into the space. And really that's where I'm a little bit wary. And, you know, to be honest, I think that Bitcoin, there's no second best Bitcoin, right? And I think we all know that, but I also think that there are going to be a lot of these micro cap and nano cap Bitcoin treasury companies who are going to put themselves as well as potential investors in a bad position if or when we get to, you know, a prolonged downturn in the stock market. And so really be wary of, I'm personally wary of companies like that and really looking at, you know, which are the companies, the biggest elephants in the room with the largest moats of Bitcoin on their treasuries. And really that if I were to go down that particular rabbit hole, those were the only ones that I'd be focusing my attention on and not any of these, you know, high MNAV, rapid accumulation, nano cap. I mean, really, it's like I said, you get some of these ICO era hairs on the back of your neck standing up. And then you also get a lot of these, you know, pink sheet over the counter. If you have experience with trading stocks, you know, penny stocks vibes with some of these nano cap Bitcoin treasury companies. So just, you know, something to think about, people. If you're looking at these, zoom out, take a balanced approach. Take the emotion out of it. Otherwise, you could potentially be putting yourself in a sketchy situation, and I'll kind of land it there.
Go ahead.
I agree with AC 100%. I kind of look at the scenario, you know, whereas maybe Sailor and Strategy are the Amazon of our time, and they're actually building a sustainable financial infrastructure for a long-term product, for a long-term thesis. And I kind of see what's going on with Ethereum and some of the shitcoins is potentially like the pets.com of the internet boom. And that, I don't know, that's just kind of my thesis. It's sustainable infrastructure, real sustainable growth with a serious treasury reserve asset versus folks just jumping on the hype train.
So I'm going to give a little bit of a thought here based on previous experience and some of what AC said. I think that there is this... I think it's good, again, that people will get to see this in motion. They'll get to see Bitcoin, hold compared to these shitcoin treasury companies, because of the performance and probably the fallout. But I do think that there is still this narrative in the market where Bitcoin and crypto, quote unquote crypto, get thrown into the same bucket. And so I do think that this could be, a little bit of a negative, especially as we see mainstream media continuing to be confused, people not understand, exactly the difference between Bitcoin and all other cryptocurrencies. And so, I'm not worried about that. I just think that this seems to be, still the ongoing thought process for people that Bitcoin and crypto are all the same, and there's just still this clearly this misunderstanding. And so wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that. Do you guys agree with that? Disagree? Do you think it'll be all lumped together still, or do you think I'm completely off base and that the market, the rest of the market, has a clear distinction between Bitcoin and everything else?
Bob, were you around for the gold ETF launch? And because I kind of look at this in the context of post Bitcoin ETF launch, this whole thing looks like it's entirely sustainable. I mean, we just saw 80,000 coins come off the market and it blipped the price. I mean, that looks to me like an incredibly liquid, healthy market. And I just don't see, to me, this looks like we're in a scenario where you have massive institutional adoption, healthy liquid markets. And it looks like I can see the potential for this macro thesis where this thing just grinds higher and higher and higher. Is that, I don't know, can you provide some context about, you know, kind of what your observations were over time, especially with the gold?
Yeah, I mean, I think that obviously gold ETFs were a huge success. You saw a 10-year plus adoption. And but I do think that, you know, Bitcoin is slightly different from the standpoint that gold had multi millennia head start. And so people were used to what gold was and being able to, I guess, you know, if you look at it, be able to turn it into a security. It helped people get exposure because of some of the properties of gold that I guess you would say would plague people. Right. Custody is one, security is another. If you want to settle and transport, there's costs. And so, you know, for a lot of people, because that was solved, some of those things were solved through the Bitcoin, or I'm sorry, through the gold ETFs. It gave investors a way to get exposure to gold. And obviously we saw the success of the gold ETFs resulting from that. But I do think that it's fair to compare and contrast the Bitcoin ETFs to the gold ETFs. Obviously, in this first 18-month or so period, almost 19-month period now, we've seen Bitcoin perform really well, and the ETFs take in a lot of funds, people buying and accumulating that way. But I do think that there is some stark differences. And, you know, the one I mentioned is, you know, most people understand gold. I think to some degree, right? It's a physical object versus Bitcoin, where because of its properties and nature and digital format, a lot of people still misunderstand the asset. And so, I do think that it brings up an interesting, discussion, because the question is, will we see just a continual bull run for Bitcoin over the next decade, kind of like we saw with gold, or the other option is, will we, you know, see, I think what some people expect, which is, cycles and the big fallout like we've seen in cycles past. Hunter, I see your hand, so I want to go to you, sir.
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, I feel like, you know, Bitcoin treasury companies and now altcoin treasury companies, they all are kind of muddy in the water, especially when it comes to educating people on Bitcoin. There's so much information out there and people are getting distracted by these. The real revolution is to self-custody Bitcoin and to hold Bitcoin. And so I think there's a lot of newbies out there that are getting influenced by the Michael Saylors and Coinbase and Brian Armstrong and whatever direction. And there is a lot of, you know, still people that confuse Bitcoin with crypto. And, so yeah, it's frustrating to me. I think I give, you know, some Bitcoin treasury companies a little bit of a pass. If you've already owned Bitcoin and you've already self-custodied Bitcoin and you want to dabble in that casino, but, you know, altcoin treasury companies, I mean, that's like the personification of digital fiat. It's a joke. And, if people are jumping into that pool first, man, we got a long way to go in the, adoption phase of Bitcoin. So I think the responsibility on us is to put the focus back on Bitcoin first, and all this other stuff is a distraction.
Yeah, I agree. And I saw this, clip, and, you know, to be honest, I didn't see if it was not AI generated or not, but I don't think it was. And it was this clip of Barack Obama talking, he was saying basically, in the political sphere, like if you can just go out into society and, push, and I'm paraphrasing, but push a bunch of, different narratives and garbage, like basically things that are not true, you can really muddy the water and people won't know what to think. People won't know what the truth is. And so I think this same tactic is being used not in our, just in our political spheres and marketplaces, but like also in cryptocurrency or in Bitcoin. And so, you know, we've heard different politicians, whether it's Putin, or others, admit openly that Bitcoin cannot be stopped. And so really, I don't know. It just gets me thinking that one of the tactics that they use in order to maybe stop it, but, more than likely just try to slow it down, is to muddy the water with these altcoins. And so it would stand to reason, if I'm correct, that, altcoins were all created just to slow Bitcoin down. And I think that's okay. If you're looking at this from a long-term standpoint, which most of us in this room are, but curious to hear other people's thoughts. Do you think that, this is a broader, approach by governments around the world or maybe certain power players to slow down Bitcoin? Or do you think it's Monday and I have my tinfoil hat on since I've been away for a week?
No, I can join you in the tinfoil hat stuff. I think there is some credence to that thought process. I mean, I meet people that I talk Bitcoin and they think FTX. And so there's like these black swan events, these rug pulls that happen that have just polluted the mind of, you know, no coiners, and they will associate Bitcoin with a Ponzi or a scam because of something adjacent to Bitcoin, like a crypto coin or something. And it makes me worried about, you know, the idea of paper Bitcoin and, you know, what's going on with BlackRock ETF or, you know, Saylor not showing his reserves. Like, is there going to be another future black swan or massive rug pull that just buries Bitcoin in, you know, this like propaganda, this bad energy, and then we got to fight through that again? So yeah, I think about those things and how the bad media coverage associated around Bitcoin could hurt our adoption.
But like, who are the natural sellers now? I mean, the Germans are gone. You know, some of the OGs are gone. The 100K sell wall is gone. The GBTC, sales are gone. Like who's selling? I mean, these institutional players here, I mean, you know, we're talking Fidelity, Kathy Wood. I mean, we're talking like Art Laffer being like the advisory, on some of these, for some of these companies and whatnot. These institutions are here to stay, and you don't see these type of buy orders just to sell and get. These people don't buy and sell out 6 months later.
Wade, are you worried about the paper Bitcoin threat? BlackRock is really accumulating all these Bitcoin. If, you know, where's the proof of reserves from MicroStrategy? You named Kathy Wood and Fidelity, and I have confidence in those people. I believe that there's true Bitcoiners in the game that are at these institutional levels, but the two elephant in the room seem to be BlackRock and MicroStrategy.
No, I'm not. I'm kind of sympathetic to the argument that some of the paper Bitcoin plays and whatnot, that some of these people might be on the margins able to manipulate price or be over leveraged. But when your Bitcoin gets called, it's going to get called and the market's going to respond. And I just say, like, guys, look at what happened last week. 80,000 Bitcoin dropped, and it was a blip, and we are right back on track. The market looks really healthy.
Yeah, there's certainly forces at play that are gobbling up the supply. And I think the big question that I always have is, are miners selling? And you see a lot of these miners who are also trying to get into the Bitcoin treasury play a little bit, right? By raising capital. I do think it's interesting that they would be adding Bitcoin to the balance sheet rather than raising debt in order to, you know, improve operations, get more lean, find new sites, invest CapEx into mining equipment, those things. Have you guys heard much about the miners? I haven't, you know, just being checked out for the last week or so, I haven't really focused too much on that. But you guys see anything, hear anything about the miners other than being ticked off at this solo miner who out hatched them and was able to snipe a block on Saturday. Has anybody heard any of that talk about miners and their willingness to sell some Bitcoin to cover operating costs? I'll take that as a no. So as we transition, maybe an adjacent topic is what are the best practices, guys, to steer people away from altcoins? What do you guys think? Especially as you hear some of these treasury companies being launched on, I don't want to say the names, but as you hear some of these altcoins bleeding into these treasury companies, what are some of the best practices to explain to people the difference between Bitcoin and everything else?
I like Jimmy's approach, calling them casino coins. I think you need to put it into terms that, you know, people can understand, and, you know, attaching it to degeneracy. Like, I'm okay with that. Like, if you want to get into altcoins, just know it's a gamble and you're probably going to lose.
No one with an ounce of intelligence is putting a shitcoin or an altcoin in a mixed portfolio of real estate and other assets. I mean, people are concerned right now that they need Bitcoin exposure in their real estate portfolios. You gotta like look at the stuff that what the Cardones are talking about liquidating real estate positions. That way you can get access to Bitcoin positions. It's the real estate and the other assets are the risk. It's not the Bitcoin, it's a risk. These guys aren't, they're not putting gold on the balance sheet. They're not putting Ethereum on the balance sheet. They're de-risking and they're going after the apex predator asset, and that's Bitcoin. And the thing that we should be worried about is, do you have enough, guys?
Yeah, and as you look at those things, I think we need to get better. Like, there's so much noise, and a lot of us are, you know, paying attention to this stuff probably more than we should. Although, again, want to thank everybody for joining us. I think the fact remains that, if you just look at, if we take the emotion out of it and your opinions, the numbers don't lie, right? And so fiat currencies are continually losing value over time. But I think you got to go a step further, right? That it's not just value, that they're actually losing purchasing power. And so once people realize that fiat currencies are designed to lose purchasing power, and I still think that a lot of people don't know that Bitcoin has a fixed supply. And so that protects holders of it against debasement. People really have to just make a simple choice, right? Which is, do you want to save in something that has some inflation resistance? And so, if you can keep it relatively concise when you talk to people, and not go too far off the reservation for them and where they're at, then I think, we have a winning conversation. But the problem is, again, we talked about it, there's a lot of confusion out there, right? Whether it's the previous frauds, scams, abuses, or just misinformation that's out there about other number two cryptocurrencies and number threes and number eights and whatever that people would want to invest in, because everybody's missed out on Bitcoin since its price is so high. wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that. Anything I said that, I think maybe the hands are not, they're phantom hands. We got phantom hands on Monday. But any thoughts, Wade and Hunter, on what I just said? I'm a little slow to the trigger on the crickets this morning, but, I do think that people will continue to be confused. Most people are not in tune with, what's going on, especially people who haven't learned how to save, right? There's a lot of people out there who finance everything on, credit cards, borrowed money. Maybe some people were lucky enough to purchase a home before they printed all that money back in 2020, and now they have a ton of equity because most of the real estate values have gone up in dollar terms, and they're cashing out their equity to pay off old debts, or to, you know, mismanage it and spend money in other ways. And so I think a lot of people are not taught to save. They're living beyond their means. And this isn't a judgment. This is just the facts. A lot of people, are just living for today and, are not saving, right? And so I think that is not impossible to teach someone, who hasn't saved before, but it is a way of life. It's a habit. It's a thought process, and it can be challenging to overcome that. I think where I've seen the most success is with people who understand savings. They have this problem. Some of them realize it. Some of them don't. Some of them are frantically trying to figure out how to keep up with the loss in purchasing power on their investments, which most of them measure in dollars. The target probably for us is not so much the people who are living beyond their means and broke initially. Now, we all have hopes for those people, obviously, and we want the best for them. But the conversation really where I think we can have the most success as you look at the target market would be savers, people who see a problem or are much more easily able to see the problem, and want to avoid the pain of that problem, and would be open to the topic of Bitcoin, its finite supply, and its decentralization, and those things. But mostly we can point to the problems with the current system as to why their savings is getting eroded. And so I just think that it's... sometimes we beat our heads up against the wall talking to people who have no capital to contribute, and really they're the ones who want to take the gamble on altcoins because they you know, they need to win the lottery and they need to do it quick so that they can pay off old debts. Jimmy, welcome to the stage, and anybody who wants to chime in on that diatribe I just had.
I just want to say, oh, go ahead, Jimmy.
No, go ahead. I continue on that subject.
I just wanted to say, you know, rich people don't buy altcoins. Rich people aren't even thinking about, you know, Ethereum. Rich people live off debt. Rich people are looking forward, if you're in the Bitcoin space, to the Milo, to the Strike, and to the Strategy financial products that are coming into the market. They want to be able to access the equity in their Bitcoin. And that is, and I know people will probably slam me for saying that or whatnot, but that is how rich people think. They are not taking, they're not being hit by capital gains taxes. You know, Jack Mahler's has gone over this again and again and again and again. Once you have enough capital, you have to learn how to play the financial games. But I will say I am looking forward to those financial products and this market as it matures and develops.
on the topic of saving, I would say that people really need to force themselves to save. I know I have to do that. I'm not very good at being a voluntary saver. I have to use my DCA and treat it like a bill that comes out of my budget. If I was to like try to just go through the month and have a little bit at the end and then I'm going to buy Bitcoin with that, I would fail. I mean, I still am kind of a paycheck to paycheck guy, but I have a very healthy DCA amount that I've had for 4 years. And it's just something that I've adjusted my life around, and I have a long time horizon. And so try to look at it as forced saving. There's so many different products out there that'll help you do it. I use the Strike app, and out of every one of my paychecks, boom, a chunk of it buys Bitcoin. And I'm just used to my paycheck getting deposited into my account minus that Bitcoin purchase. And that's what I use to fund my lifestyle. And so people have to make these kind of hard adjustments in the beginning, and you will adapt to it. You will find a way. And you'll be able to accumulate Bitcoin over a long time horizon. But it's not a get rich quick scheme. There's no one that's going to just get rich overnight doing small DCAs. You got to just accumulate it over time. I've never been really into smash buying Bitcoin. I just don't have the funds for it. So I'm also not emotionally attached to the price. It could go up. It could go down. I'm just buying the same through my paycheck, and it helps me sleep well at night. You know, I'm not chasing dips or any of that. I buy it when I buy it. And it's worked out pretty good so far.
Hunter, I think that is a really good point. You know, one of the questions this morning was, what are the best practices to steer people away from shitcoins? You're not going to, you know, for all people. But I do like that point of, you know, like, are you a professional investor? Are you a professional trader? If you are, then maybe some of these altcoins are for you. Maybe you can hit it big. Probably not, but maybe you can hit it big. And maybe you should go give it a shot. I don't think you should from experience, but maybe you should go, you know, spend all your time, every waking moment watching these things move up and down, and, try to make something of it. But I think what you said is really powerful. For most people, like, we just want to live our lives. And, you know, we're willing to trade our time and energy for money, but we want that money to be something that doesn't lose purchasing power. And Bitcoin is that asset that can help us do that the best, as far as we've seen so far. And so I think, yeah, the people who want to win the lottery, they're going to keep buying lottery tickets, right? And so, I don't know. Your comments really made me think of that, because, you know, you're able to sleep well at night. I'm able to sleep well at night. And while we don't have the biggest stacks in the world, maybe, we're not comparing ourselves to other people, and we're just doing the best with what we can. And we know that Bitcoin is the best vehicle to preserve purchasing power. And so I'll let some other people chime in here.
Good morning, Bob. Yeah, good conversation. I just wanted to come up real quick and let you know that a Bitcoin treasury company was just formed in Mexico. I just saw an interview with Pierre Rochard, and I put it in the capsule down below. He speaks in English, but he's a Mexican finance guy. And it's interesting to listen to him. You know, good or bad, these TradFi games are going to happen. And I keep saying it's the year of FAFO, maybe several years of FAFO, but, you know, they got to do it. I just talked to a TradFi guy last night, a very good friend. He's a UBS broker. He is into Bitcoin. He was into MicroStrategies. He's got a whole team of young people under him. He's in his late 50s. He figured it out. His retired partner, who's more my age, completely retired, liquidated everything, went into Bitcoin. I mean, it's like, what? And I go, yeah, Buck totally went crazy. I'm like, that's great. But it's funny. It's the older guys that get it. And the younger guys on his team refuse to look at Bitcoin. And if they look at anything, they will look at cryptos because of the yields or because of the returns. And so I told him, he says, well, how do I deal with these guys? And I told him about the casino coins. He said, don't call them shit coins. Call them casino coins. Let them know they're just, you know, they're gambling. It woke a couple of them up, and they're starting to look at it, and they're starting to go, really? Those are totally, yeah, they're not a payment system for them. Now, here in Mexico, I get a lot of people using Bitcoin. I have a person I buy my meat from, a carniceria. And after 6 months of her receiving, you know, Bitcoin or pesos through by showing her how it works, she now wants Bitcoin. and she doesn't, you know, she wants to get paid in pesos for part of it. And I said, well, I can just send you all Bitcoin and you liquidate it when you want. Okay. And so it's like it gets, and then I've got people, they're Mexicans. I have a very good friend that worked for me for years. He's on Carnival cruise ships, just suffering like mad, but he's been doing it for many years and he makes good money and he stacks that and he's been doing it long enough. He can now buy a house and he's just like, this is incredible, right? It turned him into a saver. He was a total clothes addiction. He'd get off that ship and he'd buy clothes like nuts and just spend his money. And when he got into the sats, you know, I asked him, I quit doing that. I can't spend it. I've got to buy Bitcoin. And so it turns people into savers. And I don't try to get them to do anything. I just help them, you know, use it as a payment system. And the guys in the TradFi, I don't argue with them. I don't fight with them. I totally get where they're coming from. You know, they're based in making profits. And they look at Bitcoin and they go, well, it's going to be, you know, for it to go at 100% to double, that's huge, right? Well, I could, you know, this could double or that could double. And I'm like, what are you gambling? But what's interesting is if you talk to the people that are, whether they're in Tether, whether they're in shitcoins, whether they're in treasuries, what are they all after? Every finance guy gets down to it. If they know about, they're after your Bitcoin. So honestly, I just say hodl Bitcoin. Don't even play the games. But I get it. There's a lot of young people. They think they're going to do better. They're going to make a bigger profit by out mining or, you know, trading, and then they're going to buy more Bitcoin. I wish them luck. If you understand trading and you use hedges and you know what you're really doing, yeah, you can do it. I've done it. But the fact of the matter is it's not an easy market and people get wiped up all the time. And you know the statistics, most of you, that, you know, like 85% of the people get wiped up in stocks. I can't believe how many people invest in stocks without using hedges, without using options. It's like, guys, if you don't know how to do these things, I really recommend you don't just, you know, be flying the trapeze without a net. But they don't even know what I'm talking about. When I explain it to them, like, oh, I didn't know you could do that. Like, wow, what are you doing in the markets if you don't know how to do it? You know, and that's, I got trained very young for how to do this stuff. And even with my training and knowledge, I recommend you don't do it. And I've done it. I traded futures. I did really well with it, but I was playing around. I wasn't trying to make a bunch of money. The greed factor is what gets everybody. They're all in it for the bucks. And, you know, there's a point to where some people, you know, I say about 20, 25% all these bull runs of the people will eventually stay for the revolution and actually really get what Bitcoin's about. The freedom money and the, you know, independence and security and unconfiscate, all the good things. But there'll be a whole lot of them that are still in it for number go up. And don't get mad about it. Don't get stressed about it. It has to happen. You know, it's just human nature, but it's an amazing time to be alive, to watch all this going on and just kind of like, I find it entertaining. I try not to get mad about it because, you know, you can get all wound up. Oh, it's all distractions. It is, you know, but there's a lot of distractions. Like Bob was just saying, you can buy lotto tickets. People waste their money on such ridiculous stuff. But if you do get them using Bitcoin one way or another and they experience the increase and everything, then it turns them into savers. So I think it's one of the greatest things because I have a lot of people now saving that never, nobody put a gun to their head. They're putting it into their own head. They're literally making themselves do it. Nobody told them to do it. They're just doing it. And even my buddy who got out of MicroStrategy, he's selling off his MicroStrategy, paying their taxes and buying Bitcoin. And I'm like, wow, you're really getting into this. He goes, yeah, I don't need the MicroStrategy. I don't want the stocks. I want the Bitcoin. But this is because he's older. He's getting ready to retire and they're realizing there's no better place to park your money. And I got other real estate guys that are really starting to figure out in the banking world that Bitcoin's the greatest collateral in the world. So one of the things I do think coming is something interesting that I heard, Darkside talking about. And it is one of those TradFi vehicles that might be valuable to Bitcoiners, and that is Bitcoin annuities. And if you know how annuities work, that could be a great way for people to get a retirement income off of their Bitcoin without having to sell it and without a taxable event. So they're working on these vehicles. And so there are some good things that might come out of this, but there's going to be a lot of crap. Just, you know, be prepared for it and get a bigger bag of popcorn. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I do wonder if, like, your butcher would stick with it if Bitcoin doesn't have just this continual melt up over the next, say, 8.5 years, if we're comparing it to the gold ETFs. And there is some sort of, you know, say 50, 60, 70% drawdown like in the past. I do wonder if people like that who for a time have been able to save in Bitcoin because they're taking a payment in it and they've seen the performance and it's good. But all of a sudden have, you know, a period of time where, you know, as some people would argue, M2 money supply isn't expanding as fast, or, you know, there is some sort of, risk in the market that really drops the price. But hopefully, people would hold through that because they've seen over time what it does. Go ahead, Jimmy.
My experience with the Mexicans is they get it much better than the Americans. They're used to their money devaluing. So they're, you know, when it goes really down, but I get them, when I get them saving it, like the butcher, the money she's putting into it, it says you can't spend it for 4 or 5 years. You just got to make that rule. You really have to know this is what you have to do. They get that. They seem to understand that. And I've had them hodl through. I had a buddy, you know, buy at a higher price. It dumped on him right away and he held through it. Now he's 4 or 5 years into it and going, now it doesn't matter. I go, exactly. Once you get the 4 or 5 years under your belt and then you get the 7 or 8, you're starting to really realize, wow, price doesn't really matter that much anymore. It hurts to sell it a little bit less, or it hurts that it's gone down. So, you know, it's higher, but they don't dump. They don't get out of it. They are savers. And it's interesting because Mexicans, I really have found to be much better savers considering they have so much less income, so much extra, you know, money. And yet I've seen them make, you know, come to me with $30,000-$50,000 saved up. And I'm like, where the hell are you making that kind of money? And I'm, oh, I've got a second job and a third job and, you know, we do this and do that. And they're very creative finance wise. So I find it easier. But yeah, that is one of the hard things. And even my American friends and everybody I've gotten into Bitcoin, I tell them, if you're going to hold it for the value, so you have better purchasing power in the future, that you, and I tell them what you're really looking for is to hold the same purchasing power. If you can have $10,000 and it can purchase $10,000 worth of goods in value, the same amount of goods, the purchasing power in 10 years, you're ahead of the game. It doesn't matter if it goes up. It just, if it doesn't really go down in value. And what happens, you know, as they get through it, they start realizing it's the fiat. And I've already got several of them like me living on Bitcoin to where they're, you know, they're wealthier and they put it in a long time ago and they're like, this is crazy. I mean, it's like my bank account goes down, you know, it goes down in Bitcoin, but goes up in fiat all the time. And I says, yeah, that's what happens. And it's kind of like that magic bank account. So they have to experience it. And, but I really, really recommend you make sure that anybody that's doing it to hodl, that they understand it's 4 to 5 years minimum. If they don't get that or they break that, they're going to be sorry. And, you know, you can't make everybody be a great investor. But I do believe Bitcoin helps with that once they see the returns and once they realize they did nothing and they're actually benefiting. I know guys in real estate and gold and all kinds of investments that I've shown them what I did. And they're like, holy shit, you beat my ass. And you didn't do anything? And I go, no, I did nothing but nothing. I mean, that's the hardest thing is don't sell, don't trade it, just sit on it. And there's like, for 5 years? And that's, yeah, now is that going to keep happening? You're right. I don't know. Well, none of us know. But I do believe it is a safe bet that these people are putting their money in one of the hardest monies there is on the planet. And I've already seen it work out. And I've had very few of them walk away from it. I've had many of them get upset when they did or that they used some of it. And then like, shit, I shouldn't have sold any of it. I go, no, you should. If you're young, just keep stacking it, you know. But it's a tough game. But investing always has been. They've turned investing into gambling. And, you know, people on Wall Street seem to be placing bets all the time. And when young people get into it, that's what they think it's about. It's more about gambling than it is true long-term investment. And long-term is not 5 years. It's 20 years in my world.
Yeah. And there's no doubt about it. Bitcoin rewards patient long-term holders. And so, I think it is good to, explain to people that they want to be holding on to it. Wade, I see your hand, sir. Go ahead.
I had a question for Jimmy. For those who have, excess, positions in either real estate or in precious metals, what type of due diligence would you counsel just regarding porting some of those excess positions into a long-term self-custody Bitcoin positions?
Yeah, that's basically what a lot of them are starting to figure out. But as far as I'm like, I recommend Lawrence Rappard's book because it's written by a finance guy and several others that basically The Big Print and several others because it relates to them. It relates to their TradFi world. And if they take the time to do some due diligence and it doesn't, you know, need to be a lot, but they start to understand it. But the problem is they won't even look at it. And, you know, most of the TradFi guys that my buddy's talking about his team, he goes, they won't even look at it. Well, after he called them casino coins and talked to them a little bit more, now they're starting to go, well, okay, they're softening up to it. But he says they're young people and they just keep talking about how they got to have a return. They got to have, you know, this and that. And they don't see just sitting on something as, you know, what their job is to do. they were trained to trade. They're trained to, you know, take you in and out of trades all the time. And, you know, there's the old phrase of churn and burn. And they, you know, some of them really are evil about it. Other ones, it's just a matter of, you know, they, that's what they're trained to do. And it means that, you know, not all of them are out there just to burn your money up. But the reality is the third party fees and everything else. I was a trader for many years. It's amazing how many people blindly get into this thinking they're making a ton of money. But when they actually liquidate and pay the taxes and do everything, they're like, I didn't get that far ahead. And it's like, yeah. And this is, you know, but it takes a bit to get people to do it. I also don't really beat people up. I mean, if they're not going to listen, they don't want to read a book, they don't want to look at a few podcasts, then I can't help them. You know, it's like people have to want to help themselves. And so if they're not really looking and asking questions, so what I try to do is answer their questions in ways that gets them to ask more questions. If people are asking questions, they're learning. If they're not asking questions, don't beat them up. Just let them go. You know, they'll come around or they won't. This guy that I'm talking about, by the way, he got into MicroStrategies, you know, back when it started. The very first week I got him into it along with a couple other guys. They love me. They're like, we made millions. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And at the same time, he's now going, I want the Bitcoin. Well, he did this on his own. I talked to him one day. I hadn't talked to him in a month or so. And all of a sudden he's like, I got a couple of Bitcoin. I'm like, what? You mean the coin? He goes, yeah. I'm like, really? And he goes, yeah, I'm on a regular schedule now. I'm just buying Bitcoin. I'm like, well, cool. And he goes, well, you know, Buck, my old partner that retired, he liquidated everything into Bitcoin. And he says, how long ago? He goes, about 3-4 years ago. I'm like, he's loving life. He goes, oh yeah. And his son is on his team and his son won't listen. And yet he knows what his dad did. So here's a boomer that did it coming out of TradFi. His son's in TradFi and won't listen. And yet his dad is like, are you kidding, kid? Like, I'm the one that taught you this stuff. But, you know, they want to hang on to the old world. And part of it is because it's what they know. And so, you know, not everybody's looking at brand new stuff. And, you know, this happened with the internet game. And this is the thing. A lot of these young guys never saw the .com. They didn't experience it. I did. Oh, boy. And I jokingly said, I lost a ton of money. I made more money than I lost, but I had never seen so much ups and downs in my life. But computer boom, same thing. And it was insane. But if you haven't experienced that stuff and seen that, you know, you can't get upset with them. You know, it's like, you guys are going to find out. So they have to FAFO, you know, and many of them do. And like Tim, he went and got into the MicroStrategies and they got into all the ETFs and all. And that was partly because UBS wouldn't allow them to buy Bitcoin as employees. They were told they couldn't. Then they couldn't recommend it to their clients, but they could hodl it. And so that's when he started doing it. And this is what's happening, by the way. I asked him, don't you know hedge fund guys? And by the way, he just had the Alaskan State Finance guy with him, yeah, with Tone Bays at his house, because I introduced him to Tone years ago, and they got together after the Alaska event. They've got the state finance guy completely orange-pilled. He's just absolutely into Bitcoin. And so Tim's like, we got to get more of you guys up here to help me, because they're waking up. And I go, yeah, it takes time. But, you know, it's coming. But have a specific way. All I can say is if you're talking to TradFi, you have to kind of speak in their language and, you know, not beat them up. And so I call them casino coins, not shit coins. Just being negative about stuff just turns people off. But if you're positive about why Bitcoin is, and like here in the Mexico, people say other cryptos, they go, we don't have payment systems for that. Like, what? And I go, yeah, you don't have, you know, Solana payment. There's all these BTC ways to pay. They don't have that. And they're like, why? And it goes, they're casino coins. They're not the same thing. And that's, see, in Mexico, they're kind of proving it, that they're a totally separate thing, because most of the credit cards you can get, debit cards, apps you can use, all of it's Bitcoin. It's not like Bitcoin Cash. It's not like Solano. There's not a lot of options. They're not using a lot of crypto. Legally, they could, but it's not. And this guy, if you see the podcast with Pierre Rochard, he says Bitcoin's the only one. And listen to a Mexican finance guy just like, I don't care about anything else. Our company only deals in Bitcoin and only will deal in Bitcoin. So you see, they are getting it. It's just, who gets it? You never know. You know, it's a you know, shotgun approach. And, you know, those that are asking and investigating and learning, they will. But there's going to be tons of them that just refuse to take a look at it. And yeah, I don't beat them up. I just let them go and wait until they come around.
Yeah, thanks for that. We are getting towards the top of the hour, guys, and wanted to give Hunter and Wade a chance to give any closing remarks. Thanks for all your contributions this morning, Jimmy. Guys, we do this every weekday, 10 a.m. Eastern. Would love to have you with us tomorrow. But Wade, I'm going to throw it over to you first for closing it out.
I don't have enough Bitcoin. Self-custody, guys.
Hunter, if you're still with us, yeah. Any final remarks?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah. Amen to what, Wade said. Just stack sats, learn to self custody. Check out, Bitcoin Veterans. Is it .org? I believe it's .org. Lots of guys there that'll help you on your journey. And, we're still so early. So learn, spend time learning, and then you'll have conviction, and then you won't be swayed by, Bitcoin treasuries or altcoins. You just got to learn why Bitcoin? Why is this so much better than fiat money? Why is this a better system and something you want to hold on to and you want to accumulate as much as you can?
Yeah, good stuff for today, guys. I really appreciate it. Love the discussion. Didn't get into too much news today, but maybe there'll be some tomorrow. So again, guys, join us 10 a.m. Eastern. Appreciate you guys being with me here after I was out for a week. And again, want to once again thank everybody who was up on stage last week helping fill in while I was getting some R&R. But we're back now, and hopefully we can continue doing this each morning with your support. So thanks for joining us as always. That's all we have for today. Want to wish everybody a wonderful Monday and want to remind you once again, do not shitcoin. It's like buying an Ethereum treasury company.
People that use fiat currency as a store of value, we call them poor. We call them poor.